And perhaps you might want to turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy and chapter 8, I think. Deuteronomy and chapter 8. Perhaps we can look to the Lord, our Father and God, your day, your time, here we are. We're heading into tomorrow, if you should tarry and we should live. So help us in every way, even now. And our Father, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And we've been looking of late in Joshua again, book of Joshua, in order to learn and rethink and re-understand the wonderful success that they had for a little while. And we're trying to capitalize on what they should have known, what they were going through from our end of it down this on this side of the cross. So, as we look at that, you'll remember, if they would, if you go back in history, and Adam and Eve every day walked with God, Genesis chapter 3. Every day they had an afternoon walk with God. And in the process, until they sinned and had to leave the garden. And so during those, Cain, Abel, and all of that, we come to Enoch in chapter 5. And Enoch walked with God, like Adam and Eve walked with God. And Enoch walked with God in chapter 5, and God took him. He just walked with God, and one day he was no longer there. God took him home, just like he's going to take us. He took him. And as you go from Enoch, you go to Noah. And Noah's living in the world. Noah and his family, all the rest aren't believing, but Noah is walking with God. And there for 120 years, the world could see him building the ark and walking with God. And he walked with God on planet Earth. Abraham came along, chapter 17, and one in verse Genesis. And Abraham walked with God. That's what he did. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Have a perfect, complete heart. I want your whole heart. And Abraham walked with God in a most wonderful way. Now hang on to that. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then comes Moses. And Moses comes along. And God had made a promise to Abraham of that he would have a special place on planet Earth to make sure that everyone on Earth would be mindful of his wonderful person. And that was in Jerusalem, ultimately, in Palestine. So, and a promise was made to Abraham. And Moses comes along, and Moses is going to go and bring the nation of Israel. After 430 years, he's going to bring the nation of Israel across the Jordan into the land, which is what we've been looking at. So now, and they did that. So far in Egypt, all of that time, they lived in the world, by the world, and the world was all around them. And thus they had idols and all the Egyptian influence of the world. And that's what they did. How they did, lived 24 hours a day, coming and going, just like the Egyptians, only they were Israelites near the Nile River. And that's what they did, at the Mediterranean Sea. And that's what they did, by the Nile River. No, and they did that. That's what they did. And when God took them out of the land of Egypt across the Red Sea, they went to the wilderness. And in the wilderness, God did a wonderful thing. And they were no more in Egypt. There was no more politic. The Egyptian government was gone. Slavery was gone. And all the persecution was gone. And they were there to know God in his most wonderful way. In the wilderness, Egypt, everything's the same. When we go to the wilderness, God is getting them ready by way of Mount Sinai, the law, ultimately, as you know, Exodus 20. And they're going to go northward 11 days. If they would do it, God said, go northward. They were in Kadesh Barnea. Go in and take the land. That's what they could do. They could do that. That's all they had to do, was just do that. But they didn't do that. They didn't do that. And therefore, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. All the time in the wilderness. In Egypt, you wore your sandals and shoes. You wore them. In the wilderness, you wore your sandals and shoes. That's what you did. And God took care of you in the wilderness. So as you lived in the wilderness and in the world, you just did what you did as the world system does. Now, so when we come to Deuteronomy and chapter 8, remember Deuteronomy is given after 40 years in the wilderness. So now they've spent the 40 years. And God is reminding them what he has done for them in a very wonderful way. They can't have Egypt, and they don't belong in the desert wilderness. But God kept them in the desert because by way of their unbelief. And so God had to take care of them in the wilderness, which he did, in their unbelief, as a shepherd takes care of the sheep. So, in chapter 8, you'll remember, going if I can, I might as well read it. Chapter 1, 8, verse 1. And all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do. Why? That you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He made a promise. God had a special place for Israel. Verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove, put you to the test on trial. What are we testing? To know what was in thine heart. I want to know if you're wholeheartedly going to trust me. Not just a little, but trust me. That's what I want. So therefore, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And therefore, God, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with the manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he gave you special food from heaven to keep you, gave you all the nutrients, everything you ever needed. Neither did the fathers, your Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, never knew it, what manna was. That purpose, he may make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So you're going to live by looking to God, and that's how you're going to live. You aren't going to live any human way. You're going to live in a wonderful heavenly way. You're going to trust the God who gives you his life and keeps you. How does he keep you? How did he keep you for 40 years? Verse 4, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. So you were there, And what did you do? You walked on the hot sand, the rocky, uneven ground, etc. That's what you did for 40 years. And you had shoes on your you had shoes on your feet, like you did in Egypt, you did in the wilderness. You had shoes on your feet. This time, your shoes never wore out, because when you left Egypt, you didn't bring five pairs of shoes. You left Egypt, and God took you out as you were. And so when you here you are in the wilderness, and God is going to go and put the shoes on your feet, the clothes on your back for 40 years. For 40 years, I'm going to keep them. They never wore out. You keep them. You're in the wilderness, like in Egypt. That isn't where he wants you. So, now having said that and keeping that in mind, chapter 29. And chapter 29, the book of Deuteronomy, picking up, if I may, and you'll notice, chapter 29, going, if I can, in the light of context and all that, verse 5, and I have, picking up, well, you read verse 5, easy, and I have fed thee, led thee, I have led thee, you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen or as upon not waxen upon your foot. Your foot never swelled. You never had a foot problem. You didn't need a foot doctor, and you didn't need to go to the shoe store. You never had to do it. I kept you. You're in the world. You cross the Jordan River. That's a whole nother ball game. It changes, because God isn't saving. Egypt is doing what it does, leaving God out of the picture. God didn't intend you to live in the desert, in the wilderness. God had a special place in Palestine and Jerusalem, and that's where he wants you. That's his place to hang up for you. Now, and for his own glory and his own honor. So here, over, if I can, Joshua, right next door, chapter 1. And Joshua in chapter 1. And you recall, they're going to go into the land, and the land is spelled out for you, for them, in a special way, as you remember. And Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to thee, give to them, even to the children of Israel. And then verse 3, underlined in your mind, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. And you'd read verse 4, all the way from the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates River. I gave you all of this. Every place that you put your foot, I've already given it to you. Now, different. Not in Egypt. Not in the wilderness. No. Chapter 5. How are we going to proceed? Remember, we did all these things. Chapter 5. And you recall, Joshua was there. And now, going back to Moses, Moses was introduced to God. And Moses became the man God intended him to be. And Moses, when did that happen? You spent 40 years in Egypt to rise to the very top, being a son of Pharaoh by way of the daughter. Not literally, but the daughter adopted that little baby, and Moses became as her son. And God took you there in Egypt, and God did that wonderful thing for you. Now, And having said that, now, and here's Moses, and Moses, 80 years old now, 40 years in the wilderness, same place you're reading, where they wandered. So Moses was very familiar where they spent 40 years, because he had been there 40 years earlier, 40 years himself. He lived in the very land that they went and lived in for 40 more years. See, so he's going to be 80 years in the wilderness. God kept him. God kept him, just like everybody. But God prepared him when he was 80 years old, you remember? And 80 years old, Moses was taking his few sheep and doing the same routine, same route, around and around where he fed them and took them. And he went by the bush. And the bush, as you know, in chapter 3 of Exodus, the bush was full of fire. God was in the fire. Moses stopped because God said, Moses. And God, Moses turned around and said, bushes don't talk and bushes don't burn and burn and burn. And they never burn up. They don't burn up. That's not normal. And so Moses went. And God said, Moses, Moses. And what did Moses discover? That God was in the bush. And Moses was in the presence of God. Moses, take your shoes off. You stand on holy ground. Now remember all we did in the past, a few days here, a little bit of time. Genesis chapter 3, the ground is cursed. God cursed the ground. For what? To help Adam and Eve understand that the ground was cursed so that they, for their sake, so that we'd understand Adam and Eve, humans come from dust. Genesis chapter 2, God made them. Genesis chapter 3, 19, you are dust. You came from dust. You are dust. You go back to dust. Keep yourself humble. Don't get too high and mighty. You're on holy ground, and I want your shoes off so you stand flesh on that ground. And you're conscious of the ground. Nothing's in between. That your feet are going to get dirty on that ground. I want you to know that. It's holy ground. It's where I am. It's my place for you. Wilderness, no. Egypt, no. Here is my place. Therefore, Joshua, as you know, chapter 5 and verse 15, and the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Like Moses, he took his shoes off. He took his shoes off because the journey, you're going to be in God's place. God has given you all this land. It's already yours. All you have to do is walk in it, and I'll take care of the rest. It's holy ground, and you're going to have people there that are going to, that it's time, as you know, Genesis 15, they have, it's time for them to go. I gave them 400 years to fix their life. The bad guys, and they never fixed their life. But I gave them 400 years to do so. So it's time for them to go. And so therefore, here we are, here's Joshua, and he's on holy ground in a most wonderful way. So the ground, it's Israel's place. They have a place in the land. And it was their lot for their life. And they were to live in that place and possess that place. God never said to them, all turn the pages of God's word, God never said to them, go into China. He never said for them to do any other place, to do any other way or any other thing. He told them, live, put your, like a lighthouse. The lighthouse sits and doesn't go around and move all around the ocean. It stands there I want you to be a lighthouse. Jerusalem is the centerpiece for all the people to see. And they never were told to go anywhere else or do anything else. They were just to be a lighthouse, a witness in that land. It is holy. It's set apart. And right now it is, but no one's, you would never know. But come the tribulation and the Lord's return, and they're going to be in the kingdom for 1,000 years, and they're going to be in that place. And they're going to be what? Holy. Holy. That's what they are. And the world's going to know they're holy people. They're set apart for God's wonderful person in a holy place. Now, having said that, in the kingdom, over to Isaiah 60 again. Isaiah in chapter 60. And you would recall in Isaiah 60, may I go directly to chapter 60 in verse 7 again to remind us, all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. The temple in the kingdom is going to be built. And verse 13, and the glory, like come to verse 7, glory, over to verse 13, and the glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious, where I stand, where I am. Take your feet off. Remember where you are. You're in the presence of God. Now that's verse 14. And what's that going to do for Israel? The sons also of them that afflict thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee, anti-Semitism and all of that, shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel, in the kingdom. So there's a wonderful, wonderful future, and God's going to have the place. It's a place. It's Israel's place. It's holy ground. Holy ground. Now we come to us, and we don't have holy ground. We don't have any ground. We don't have anything. Put that together. Luke, if I can, Luke in chapter 9, as you would remember. And in Luke in chapter 9, picking up, if I may. And you'll notice in Luke in chapter 9, going if I can, the Lord speaking about discipleship and following him. And Isaiah chapter 9, sliding to verse 57, a little context. It came to pass that as they went on their way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Oh God, I'm going to come with you. And the Lord Jesus answered him, verse 58, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. There's no place on earth for me. It's all the world system. I'm going to die on the cross to save it. It's the world system. I don't take my shoes off. It's not holy ground. It's not holy ground. So God, what about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? They didn't have a land. What did they do? How did they keep going? Hebrews chapter 11, as you remember. Hebrews chapter 11. And picking up, if I can, chapter 11. Picking up, please. You'll catch it. Chapter 11, over, if I can, verse 8. And here's Abraham. What about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? They didn't have any witness. They had, all they did was point to God and look to God. Now, what do you do when you don't have any holy ground? Abraham didn't have any holy ground, and Jacob didn't have any holy ground. They just were looking to walk with me, said God, and be thou perfect. Have your whole heart, just go down the corridor of time, and I'm going to work it out. But you don't have any holy ground yet. You're going to have it, but not yet. So therefore, when we came, as you know, in chapter 11 and in verse 8, and by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into his place, which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went, like in Genesis chapter 11 and 12. Verse 9, Hebrews 11:9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, tents, as you know, when we did Hebrews, tents, dwelling in tents, as with Isaac and with Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And they never, when you read up until Joshua, you don't have a city. We all lived in tents. We were all strangers and pilgrims. We were going down the corridor of time, and we were mocked. So when you looked at us Jews, you know we never got caught in a city. We're done. We're looking for God. Therefore, as you keep going, chapter 11, and if he can, in verse 9. And he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 11. Through faith also, no, we're going to keep going, get a little better than that. Verse 13. He's looking for a city. And all the believers back then, for these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, what God was going to do, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's why we live in a tent. We don't have any permanent building. We're strangers and pilgrims, sliding down, if I can, to the next verse, down verse 16. And now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly one, heavenly. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city, a wonderful Jerusalem, kingdom. We just read in Isaiah 60. Where my feet, said God, I stand, and Jerusalem becomes the city of God, the holy place, and all the world is going to worship the Jew. Honor the Jew, I should say. Honor the Jew. No more anti-Semitism. Nope, Israel's in the place. Wonderful. Now, having said that little bit, well, what about us? We got the stranger and the pilgrim's part. And you know from 1 Peter, go over there for a sec, not far away. And over to 1 Peter. And if I can, in chapter 1. And you'll notice in chapter 1, picking up, if I can, verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, behavior. How you behave. Verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And that's what Israel was to be, a holy people, Leviticus chapter 11. Verse 17, and if we're to be holy because he's holy, and if you call, in other words, Christ was in the bush, God was in the bush, The ground became holy. God was in Mount Sinai. The land became holy. God is in you. You become holy. God will leave the bush. God will leave the mountain. God will not leave you. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And, verse 17 again, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning. Well, you're here as an alien, as a stranger now. You don't belong here anymore. Here, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. That's how to do it. That's how you're going to go down the corridor of time, looking to God to outwork his wonderful will in his wonderful way. Now, God's going to do that and in a wonderful way. And so therefore, you know that God's going to leap over to John 17. And in chapter 17, if I may, in John 17, and we're looking at what? Here's the prayer of our Lord, looking for his disciples, looking for us. Here we are on planet Earth, and what are we to know? Well, we don't have any place. If you got saved, God, there's no holy ground. Your house isn't going to be anywhere. Where's the holy ground? You have a holy God in your heart. There's no place here that you can say, this is holy. The church isn't holy. This is just a building. When you and I sit in the building, it becomes holy. God's here. God's dealing with the head and heart. So as we look to God to outwork his will in a most wonderful, wonderful way, we're holy. There is no place for us here. There's no place. You do it easy. You're not even going to be able to keep your body. You understand? That old sin nature, God said, I don't even want that. I'm going to get rid of all of it. There's no place for you to hear. Here on planet Earth, period. There is for Israel, but you belong to Christ. God, you belong to God in Christ. Therefore, God has made you holy, and you're a stranger, like he is. Now you understand what he said to this fellow that asked him about being his disciple. There's no place for me to lay my head. You want to come with me? You have to come all the way. John chapter 14. Chapter 14. You're right next door, fast. Over to chapter 14. And in chapter 14, you'll notice, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I wouldn't bother telling you something that wasn't going to happen or you didn't need to know. You need to know that. I go to prepare a place for you. That's what I'm doing. There's no place here on earth. You don't belong on earth. You belong to God in Christ. That's where you belong. We're strangers and pilgrims. So we, holy ground. Christ in you is holy. You become holy. Be holy, for I am holy. And our Lord then said, you're a stranger and a pilgrim. I want you to be on planet Earth, but I want you to know you're looking in my Father's house on many abiding places. I'm looking for you to go from here to there. That's where we're going. You're not going to go. Israel's going to land in Jerusalem. You're going to land in the God who created Jerusalem. That's where you're going. I want you to go there and understand why you're here. Chapter 17. And verse 14, among others, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not N-O-T, of the world. You don't belong to the world system anymore. And the Jews can never, that's why anti-Semitism, we've said it how many times. That's why anti-Semitism exists. Why? Because God will not allow the Jews to be absorbed into the system. The system is always going to keep rejecting them. God said that's what's going to happen. You can never, to Israel, they didn't listen to Israel. You cannot belong to the world system. I saved you from Egypt to know me. You cannot belong. And as long as you try to do it and fit in, you're going to be Proverbs, you're going to be speak anti-Semitism in one single word. You're going to be persecuted. And therefore, chapter 17 and verse 15, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world. No, God, what are we going to do? What are you going to do with us? But thou should keep them from the evil one, the devil himself, the devil, the god of this world, who's in charge of the whole system, world system. He's going to keep you from that. You're in it. That's right. But you're a stranger and pilgrim. Now, God, so we aren't looking to claim something. We're looking to find something, and God is going to go and deal with a head and heart till we find our wonderful place in God's holy, happy heaven. So here we are, and we're strangers. So we aren't trying to stay in the body to be here. No, we're looking to be rescued from the body. God says, I don't want it. The old sin nature, I'm going to take you home. Now, before time goes, and over again, oh boy, you cut it off. Over to chapter 13. And you'll get the idea. The person that did Sunday school went over this morning, and boy, he didn't mean to go over. But boy, this person, Mom, I learned from that guy in Sunday school. I said, don't go over. And when you stopped, Steve, I said, why do you stop so early? Because I got nothing to say. And now the time's gone again. And we haven't even touched the target. Boy, it's frustrating. When I get older and learn a little bit, boy, it'll come out better. But you have to be patient. Therefore, chapter 13. How did you begin the upper room? Here are the disciples. And you did a wonderful thing for them. You helped them understand what? That they're in the world. Chapter 13, if I can, verse 5. Our Lord, verse 4. And he hath risen from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. He put his robe aside and went down on his down. Took the bucket and the brush and washed their feet. That's what servants do. That's why they were all frustrated. That's what servants do. Now, verse 5. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. In other words, you come in from outside, you got to clean your feet. You got all dirty outside. You're in the world. Verse 6, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, doest thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know afterwards. You'll understand after Peter. And therefore Peter, because he didn't understand, said in his frustration, verse 8, Peter said unto him, that thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part of me. Unless I save you, you're not going to be saved. I'm washing your feet. Let me keep reading. Verse 9. And Peter, he didn't want to hear that. Peter, you have no part of me unless I wash you clean. And if you took time to read, which we don't have it, John chapter 15, verse 3, he said, no, the vine and the branch we did this morning. Verse 3, you are now clean through the word, which I have said clean, but your feet get dirty because you're still in the world. The world is not holy ground to you. The world's system has been condemned. Your old nature is condemned. You're still in the world. You got to understand you're in the world. And I want to, you understand, you got to wash your feet. Hang on. Not much, but it'll hang on a little. And if I can, chapter 13. And verse Peter, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also wash my hands and my head. Give me a whole bath, God, if it's going to do it. Boy, God said, I don't need to do that. I'm going to die and save you. But you're still in the world. I don't take you out of the world. I'm leaving you in the world. I'm leaving you in this body. You've got an old sin nature, and you have the world. Think of first the wonderful, wonderful truths. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, as we, God takes our old nature, and as we in the light, and God cleanses us from all our sin. So we're walking in the light. We got an old nature. What do you mean? You're going to get your feet dirty every minute you live here. So what do you got to do? Walk in the light. God, I have to understand that this isn't my place, and I have to understand not to love the world, 1 John, not to love the world. I need to look to you, God. What? To keep my feet clean, because I'm in the world, and you saved me. And so here I am, God. There's no place for me. No, no, there isn't. You belong to me. But you're in the world, so you're going to have all the problems of being in the world. But don't let the problems get in the way. That's why you're going to what? Walk in the light as he is in the light. And in closing, you got the idea. You get the idea. Boy, I have a little light. You want to see that? Wait a minute, there, you can't see it. You got the little light? Okay. Now, can you see the light now? No. When you go home, turn a light on. And you turn a light on in a dark room. And what happens to the dark room when you turn a light on? The light lights the dark, and the dark disappears. So, what's the rule? You're going to have to go and understand. There's no middle ground. You're either on or off. There is no gray in your light switch. Is there? Now, don't tell me you got another thing, rheostat or something. Forget that. It's different, dimmer. Forget that. You either are on or you're off. You're either abiding in Christ or you're not. There is no middle ground. I'm either going to be trusting God and abiding, or I'm not trusting God. I'm either going to be with God, being light, walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. And if you don't walk in the light, you'll walk in darkness. There's no middle ground. It's real simple. I'm halfway. There is no halfway. There is no three quarters away. There isn't any such thing. That's a lot of baloney. There isn't anything like, I can be a Christian halfway. No, you can't. You're either going to be on or off. That's it. You're either going to be abiding and enjoying being saved, or you're not going to be abiding. Simple as that. So God said, listen, I have to wash your feet. So don't mind. Therefore, you confess your sin. I'm faithful and just to keep your feet clean. That's all you have to do. Your feet get dirty. Confess your dirty feet if you need to. Otherwise, just wear your shoes in the world and relax. And the blood of Jesus Christ will be doing what? Cleansing you from all sin. That's what it's going to do. Your eye is washing itself all the time. All the time washing itself. God's, when you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing you. What's so hard about that? And you're just going to trust him. And don't you get frustrated. You got a lousy old nature. No offense to you. I have one. Mine's more worth than yours. That's possible. Anyway, you got the idea? You got to walk in the light and do it. And we're over. Oh, well. You got the idea? Okay. God, we'll pray. Our Father and God, we're trying to get a handle on it correctly and stumble through it all. So we're going to just look to you. Thank you very much, God, to remind ourselves you have done a wonderful thing and made it possible for you to find your home in our heart. And you find your home in our heart, and we become holy, a holy place, holy ground, walking on planet Earth, looking to you with thanksgiving, waiting, our God, while we're here, to be there in your wonderful place for us, in God's holy, happy heaven. So thank you very much for loving us. Thank you for watching over us. And God, make up all the things that have to be made up, we are deficient in, that we lack, and make up the difference in the meantime, and help us to be good students and to learn well. And our God, we're going to thank you very, 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 very much. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Over, if we can, 183. We'll sing one stanza as the men come. 183.